Okay, I think we're going to go maybe another 10 minutes, so that at least that long, so that we have an opportunity to respond to some of the work that we've seen today. I think that Sasha's conclusion really left us with a good framing for a number of the films and the filmmakers who are here. I also thought a lot in watching the work about the archive, the role of the archive, and particularly with the clips you showed us, the role of sound and the sound design in evoking landscape and its complexities, and the animation, and the choice there is also something that stood out to me in the work. So I don't wanna say much more because I'm quite certain you all have a lot on your minds, and we have four unique, wonderful projects to respond to. So questions, comments?
Thanks, everybody. I was so, the whole morning I was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. So it was really great to hear about all your projects. I was really curious to know more about your experiences being in these spaces, filming, what that was like for you, what the spaces were doing to you. That's kind of a general sort of question to everybody. And then particularly thinking about Raed's presentation at the very beginning, I think the figure of the flaneur, I think your project is super interesting, and what I really find interesting about it is the figure of the flaneur is usually someone who is able to just move with a certain freeness, but your project also puts a certain risk on your body that you talk about, but I'm not so sure is there in the footage. And yeah, I'm thinking about your bodies as filmmakers in these spaces and how you bring that into the work. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think I was in that liminal space, being an insider and outsider at the same time, being very conscious that this is an environment I grew up in, but then I traveled and seen the world, come back. And so, yeah, it was always very, very difficult. And the way I filmed is, I was staying with my parents for the first time for over maybe 20 years, so that was challenging by itself. And then I would just wake up. It was very hot that summer. I mean, summer is always very hot in Lebanon. So it would just be an impulse to just go and film. So yeah, I don't know, that's addressing the first part, but for the part of the danger that one risks, I remember for that conversation, I really felt my heart was beating before I could just dare to ask the question about same-sex love, but I think, and in that I felt that in many moments. Should I do it, not do it? So my strategy was to start talking about natural and unnatural, which in Arabic can be normal, abnormal as well. There were many moments where I felt, should I do it, should I not do it? And there were many moments where I decided I don't want to ask the question because I didn't feel comfortable enough. But in general, I felt safe enough and I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. And I really appreciated the insider-outsider framework that was brought up, but that really resonated for me too. And that, yeah, I grew up in this landscape, but I haven't lived there in 15 years. I'm like a New Yorker now. So I think that a lot of the beginning of the project and a lot of the relationships do come out of like a long-term history of having grown up there. Like I'm filming with people like at an animal hospital that I used to volunteer at, or with farm workers when I was in college did solidarity work with. So it does grow out of longer-term connections, but I haven't been there and I'm not living there. And yes, New York is facing, like many places globally, its own challenges around climate change, but I'm not on the ground. And so that's felt complicated to be somebody who comes in and then leaves. And also I think that's one of the things that really sometimes makes me wonder if I want to quit documentary altogether, because it feels like it can be so extractive, and that pressure of I'm here for this period of time and I have to get something. So actually that's made me, I actually just quit my job in New York and I'm moving home full time to Florida. I don't know if I'll, how long I will be there, but I don't feel that, you know, it's so place-based. I decided that I wanna go home. I wanna be there. I wanna feel what it's like. I wanna move there in the rainy season, what's disgusting, and film it, and also be engaged on the ground. And some of the work that's happening there and the organizing, and build deeper connections with the communities there, the relationships I have, and hang out not with a camera. There's definitely been, you know, times which felt tricky because of this sort of like, oh, I have this budget and I only have this much money and this much time. But when I was on this, I went on this 110-mile walk around Lake Okeechobee with Betty, who you saw in the film. I, you know, filmed for a while, and then I was like, I'm not filming anymore. I just want to walk in silence and experience this. And so figuring out, yeah, when to put down the camera, and that's tricky with documentary and why sometimes I'm like, I'm just going to go write a screenplay and quit this, which I did for a moment. But
yeah, I just want to echo a lot of the things that you're already talking about. I'm really grateful that there's at least a growing urgency around the conversation of the sort of inherently colonialist legacy that we have as documentarians to grapple with. And I think about that a lot, particularly at a moment in Puerto Rico where the extraction is constant and real and people are really parachuting in and buying land and doing all kinds of crazy things. And so there was definitely this concern that I had while making the film of reproducing that kind of dynamic. I also think making a kind of polyvocal kaleidoscopic type film means that sometimes you sacrifice depth for breadth, like literally on a very pragmatic level, spending less time in a place with people can feel really challenging. And I also, another thing I would say is that for me, part of it is recognizing that through this film, I've actually become more and more aware of my unbelonging as a diasporic Puerto Rican and becoming kind of okay with that, and also recognizing that unbelonging is both important and not important, and that my goal with the film is to focus less on that, to be conscious of it, but also to really foreground and lift up voices of people that are, again, living in Puerto Rico on an everyday basis, because there is a tremendous amount of kind of diasporic arrogance, I think, of people kind of coming back and finding their roots and all that kind of stuff. Not that that's not important, but it's not to me as important as centering the experiences of people there. And then the last thing I would say is that I've also had antagonistic experiences while filming where, you know, I've shown you kind of the more, I guess some of the more happy-go-lucky experiences of filming, but making a film like this has also put me into contact with very odious people that I found myself having to kind of spend time with, and there's nothing like being able to sort of flee that. It's not a kind of filmmaking I like doing. Investigative work is not really my jam. So, so I think it's also been nice to have counter experiences with really, really spending time with people that you want to be with.
Yes, I just really appreciate this question of what is experience this place like doing to you? And I would say it's really doing a lot to me. It's such a complicated thing because my parents both spent time living in Israel. I traveled to Israel. I'm a New Yorker before I went to New Jersey. Like, I have been trained to feel like this is, like, I have ownership over this place, and I reject that. And so when I go, it's like this, I walk, I'm allowed in with such privilege. Like when I walk into the airport, it's like, oh, Sarah Friedland, welcome. And I feel, it feels so gross and disgusting to me. And every like place I walk around in that landscape, I'm so reminded of that feeling everywhere I go. And at the same time, it's been such an incredible experience to, you know, form these friendships both with Palestinians and also with, you know, Jewish Israelis who are doing awesome radical work. And I feel like so excited by that as well. And then I think the other thing that I would say is that experiencing this place and experiencing this kind of this settler colonialist legacy that is in such a, it's such a small piece of land and it's a place with a huge history, but this particular history is such a short time period, has made me really understand the settler colonialist legacy of the United States in such an incredibly visceral way. And so I'm feeling all of those things at once, and it's incredibly intense, and I would not say I enjoy it. But I think it's really important.
Other questions? If there isn't one in the audience, I'll ask one, but. Are you hesitating?
Thank you for a wonderful panel and some fabulous films. I'm also very glad to be here. I'm Lizzie from Sussex University. I was just thinking about Ride's film and watching it and the experience. I was in Yemen and I was thinking about what you know, I was very intrigued by your opening clip and the homosociality of the men that you filmed, and which reminded me very much of Yemen as well. So I was just thinking about, you know, in that last conversation, there's obviously the men you talk to there, you know, there's no admission of any kind of, you know, anything that homosexuality is anything to do with them. And yet what you filmed at the beginning is obviously a very homosocial environment, also because of the division of gender that we could see, that, you know, the bonds between men are very strong, even though they're not necessarily homoerotic, although presumably sometimes, of course, they are. So I was kind of intrigued by that sort of split between what you observed and what the men that you did the interviews with, who were so sort of distancing themselves from what we saw in the other scenes. I just wondered if there was, you had anything more to say about that, because also I think people coming from outside, sometimes from diasporas, come and they observe certain things and they interpret in certain ways, but is not necessarily what is going on in that culture.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very confusing for me to be in that environment, because there's definitely the desire in my gaze, I mean, to see certain things that are not necessarily there or don't necessarily have the meanings that I want to see in them. But I guess what was really driving me is to both at the same time feel that I can relate to those emotions outside the binary frameworks of homo, hetero, natural, unnatural. So there is this sort of nostalgia that's impossible for what I felt before I became aware of homosexuality as a category, myself as having a gay identity. So there's that, and there's also a continuous challenge to what, challenging myself to how are these meanings formed, and how do we come to understand those gender roles, those sexuality roles, and I think we all, like, not only me, and I chose this, so there are very different people that I talk to, but I chose those group of men because I felt that they're also struggling with what they perceive as traditional, what they perceive as modern, what they understand as something that belongs to their culture, what they understand as external, And the discourses are just clash. And I think in my head, it's also like all those layers are just collapse in that space. And so maybe I was just hoping that beyond all those discourses, I would just have a feeling of being in that space that doesn't necessarily, cannot be necessarily traced to a certain category or meaning or, yeah. I don't know, I feel like I'm rumbling, but I don't know if that makes sense, but it does in my head.
So many of you reflected on and talked about the experience of being in your landscapes, and I'm reminded also of something that Rick said last night about how all of these films are going to be constructing meaning, making meaning of various kinds, and that we are always thinking too about who's going to receive these films, how they're exhibited, and who will watch them, and what we hope those audiences will take away from the experience. And that Rick said, I believe it was, we need to locate narrative intelligence in the audience. And I think if I have a final comment or question, it's really, have you given much thought to that in terms of what you're experiencing right now and the throes of the production, the post-production is, you know, what is it ultimately that you hope audiences will take away from the work?
I think about this all the time. I think, you know, we haven't talked in this panel much about, but we've been gesturing since yesterday towards the sort of specter of industrial forces. And I think about things like fast film festivals, and sort of, you know, mainstream modes of distribution that can be very exclusionary. And I'm very suspicious of sort of impact and outreach in many of the ways it's being done, I do really want to prioritize making this a film that can be seen and experienced in a public plaza like the one that you guys saw, for example. I think about that a lot. But I also think that the sort of typical documentary privileged audience that someone like Jill Gladmiller writes a lot about is not an audience for me. You are all an audience for me in a lot of ways, and part of it is actually asking that audience to maybe rethink their own centeredness in the story. I'm very, very frustrated right now at the lack of frankly care for Puerto Rico that is currently at work. I think all of us are making work in places that are forgotten, and I think that solidarity work cannot only be it needs to foreground, I think, the voices of the marginalized, et cetera, the people that we are maybe filming. But at the same time, I think it's really important to ask the viewer to maybe join in and sit and listen for a spell and bear witness to those experiences without feeling like they're the number one audience, if that makes sense.
I think Rami and I we really hope that this will be a film that a lot of people will see. Well, we hope that it will be. We'll see if that's the case. But I think there's kind of like two goals, really. One is to retell this history and to unearth it and to put it in the forefront and to put it before people so that they can actually, so that it's visible and so that it's not that it's buried. Especially in this country, we really only hear one narrative around the founding of the State of Israel. And that really changes the way people view the present. And so that's one of the main goals. And then the other goal is, through doing that, not to re-victimize the people in our film, and to bring like a full scale of emotion and reality and life to this project that isn't just about tragedy. And I think in part that's where the animation comes from, but that's also where like a lot of our film is just everyday moments. There's a lot of jokes, there's a lot of lightness, and I think that's also really important. Rami is, we're not very serious people, and we found ourselves making this very serious film that neither of us would really want to watch. And so then we were like, whoa, we need to step back and like, you know, re-figure this out. And so that's kind of what we're hoping to do.
I love that you said sit for a spell, even though I think you meant you were talking about time, but I was thinking about filmmaking as a spell, like how powerful it is, like you kind of cast a spell on people. And I hope to do that. And I guess some of the things I'm hoping are very shared among all our work, I think, are retelling a history of this landscape that hasn't really been told in this way or much at all, kind of historical intervention in that narrative. I feel really committed to situating or really naming how climate change, climate collapse, I don't know what we want to call it right now, what's urgent, in the legacies of settler colonialism, and really making that centered in environmental work. And yeah, in terms of audience and context, I've tended in the last projects to really do hopefully a multi kind of prong approach that maybe many of us in this room are doing, and creating something that we can watch together in a cinema in the dark collectively, which I really think is still so valuable. And that's one thing I really like about being here with all of you today. We don't do that a lot. We watch things alone at home and in isolation. The world is increasingly more isolating. So I like to do that. And I also think about how can the work exist in a gallery or museum space? How could it function a little bit differently and create a new experience? I've also experimented with performance and also made the film available in community spaces. And I'm partnering with a number of grassroots organizations in Florida already on the project who will be, you know, helping to do a lot of local screenings. So yeah, I'm just thinking a lot about also the takeaway being in this moment of like climate collapse and you know, the systematic rollback of environmental protections and diminished forms of care in all ways, like how to create new networks of care for one another. Yeah.
We're wrapping up. Thank you, everybody.